This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the podcast. Hello, Carly.
Hey, mate.
Let's bang this out because we've got a little bit of admin to do.
Yeah.
Because, of course, people are here for a couple of answers. One is Alpha Bucks. Your letter tomorrow is C for Charlie, Carly.
Okay.
That rhymes, so it must make sense. Starting with the letter C, name a smoothie ingredient.
Carrot.
Yeah. Yeah, great call. Not on my list. I've got
not a yummy smoothie.
No, well, I've got coconut water or chocolate protein. So yours is a way smarter answer. Yeah.
Carrot's quick to say. I mean, it's not a yummy smoothie ingredient.
No, but it is a smoothie ingredient. Now, the next thing we're doing is we're going to give away some cash tomorrow, at least $2,000. So you have to figure out the category. Obviously, we tell you it right before you go to air, unless you listen to the podcast right now, in which case you'll have like 20 hours to rehearse, practice, train.
Yeah.
So the topic for tomorrow is astronauts.
Oh, okay.
That's good. Just talk about the history of, like, you know.
You can just,
Buzz Aldrin.
There's a lot of astronauts that have been to space.
So you can talk about the female astronaut that we had on our show, the first woman.
Catherine Pegg.
Yeah, just do your research.
She's
on her.
She's cool as hell.
Very cool.
What else? NASA, maybe? You can mention them.
Yeah, it's all Italian, yeah. How they played golf on the moon. You can talk about that.
Oh, did they, though?
They did.
According to Russell, no.
Your husband, actually. Can we get into it? Do you want to get into
it? Let's get into it.
Your husband doesn't believe they actually landed on the moon.
So he has been on YouTube, people. Now, it's funny because I actually have a segment called Carly's Conspiracies.
Yep.
Russell is a very practical man,
very
my husband.
Very practical.
He is so practical in every element of his life. And even when I bring conspiracy theories to the table, I would say he's open-minded, but he's always a skeptic.
Yeah.
So whenever
fair.
I bring my kind of crazy theories to the table, he's always got a counter-argument, like, you know, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
You cannot convince this man that we landed on the moon.
No, no.
You cannot.
And I've tried.
And it's like literally the hill he will die on.
Yeah.
Like the way he just is so one-sided about this. But the weird thing is he's done so much research that, like, you say, oh, but what about this? And then he'll have like an argument at the ready. That could be his hard quiz topic.
Yeah, that the moon landing was a conspiracy.
Fake.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, he really, it's so funny how hard he goes for it. Like, if you ever want to, like, you know, I always think, because sometimes we'll go to social things. He's like, I don't know, what am I going to talk to these people about? I'll go, bring up the moon landing.
I'd love to
and
see
watch
it.
People scatter.
Absolutely.
He's crazy.
Yeah, well. There you go. If you want to talk about that with astronauts, it's a weird link, but alas, it's there for you if you need it. Good luck, and hopefully we can give away some more money tomorrow. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
On 131060, we're asking, how long did your baby go without a name after Carly, your newest niece? 7 days.
7 days. I think it went into the 8th day, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But we now have a name. Love the name. Evelyn Violet. What a
great name.
Evie for short. I just love it. I think it's so great. I'm so glad they took their time with it. So we just looked it up, Alan.
Yeah.
You have 60 days to name a baby.
Oh, wow.
It changes state to state. But that sounds like a lot. But it's a big decision. It's a big decision.
2 months of me not referring to the child by name.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Or maybe
it
every day you
time?
Try a new one. Just try it out, you know?
And try it out for size.
Yeah, I don't know.
But on 131060, we are asking, how long did your baby go without a name? Let's kick it off with Fiona. Fiona, how long did your baby go without a name?
Yeah, I totally pushed that. I know about the 60-day thing.
You got a letter in the mail?
I do. Well, no, I have 4 children, and with each one of them, oh, my goodness. And in fact, I had one in hospital for a month, and I'm pretty sure she didn't have, I think it was wait until the end, but the one I rang in about was my last one. My two oldest girls, I have a Matthew, and then I have a Jade and a Crystal, and we had another little girl, and it was like, oh my goodness, a gemstone.
This is so you're running out of stones.
Yeah.
What about a pearl?
Right. Hello. Anyway, in the end, we were heading off to New Zealand and I was under the pump. So I'm like, oh my goodness, we had to write her a passport for some reason, insisted on her having a name before we
put
her on the plane.
They tend to do that.
Right. Anyway, so we finally were like, okay, Amber. Yep, Amber. Cool, we've agreed on Amber. Jade,
beautiful.
Crystal, Amber.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're probably all listening to me going, Mom, shut up.
Classic Amber.
I like that, Fiona.
That's a great name.
Stressful, though.
Yes. But here we go. Here's the kicker. Their dad is he's Dutch, and so with the middle names we'd chosen an auntie that was in Holland, and there's you can have like the double A, which has sort of the R sound. Uh-huh. Anyway, the point is, I didn't know that when you name your baby, if you change the name, I think you have again a week or maybe a month. They will if you change it within a week, it never has to be recorded that you made that change.
Okay.
You can change your mind. I like that.
Yes, which in a week. Surprise, I did. And the next day, I went back and added an A, so that she would never have to record for the rest of her life having the two names. So psycho mum here.
No, Fiona. All great calls.
Good luck, Alan. Good luck.
Sounds like I need it. Let's go to Michelle in Geraldton. How long did your baby go without a name?
Well, it's not my baby. It was my beautiful niece, who is this year 22.
Okay.
So this is going back a while. My brother and sister-in-law took 6 agonizing weeks to name her.
Oh, 6 weeks.
So, wait, I'm trying to do the maths on that. Did they go over the time?
That's
they would have run out
days.
Of time. Oh, 45.
They got pretty close. But, yeah, so we for 6 weeks we were referring to my niece as baby girl, princess, these other weird and wonderful names, which I cannot remember for the life of me.
What name did you land on? Well, they land on.
They landed on Chelsea.
Good name. I like it.
It's a lovely name.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. It suits her to a T with a Y at the end, of course. So it had to be a little bit different.
Of course.
But yes, 6 agonizing weeks.
That is wild.
That's so long.
That's wild.
As baby girl. Baby girl.
Wow.
I think you should just call her baby girl no matter how old she gets.
Absolutely. I agree completely.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I want to thank you for not making a big point of the current snow situation that I am covered with.
Yeah, I was wondering if we need to stage an intervention, but
So I decided to transport a bunch of like edges and whippersnippers to my mother-in-law's house.
Yep.
And I put them on the back seat of my car because I don't have like a tray or anything. So I put them all there, left them in my car over the weekend because I did on Friday. I picked them up from my stepdad's and then left them in the car. And the Sunday I dropped them off. And the smell of fuel, I have not been able to get out of my car. Like, it is, like, really, really bad. And I went, oh, you know what the classic trick is? And I looked up online, bicarb soda. You know, you just put it on the surface, leave
bicarb
it for a few
soda.
Hours.
Bicarb soda?
What did I say? No, bicarb.
We'll get to that another time.
Bicarb.
It's bicarbonated soda.
Bicarbonated soda is bicarb. Bicarb soda.
But I kind of like the sound of bicarb.
Well, either way.
I feel like it's what you use when your dogs go number two in the house.
By God, I have been covered with it because I decided to drive to work with the windows down because it stinks so much of fuel, and it ended up being a winter wonderland on my way to work. So that's cool. No one come at me with vinegar or I will explode today.
You didn't think to put a little bit of lemon in there too? So wait, you
I
just
want to make the
But wait a
wet.
Second. Did you so you just like covered your back seat in bicarb soda?
Yeah,
I'm
going to vacuum it off later, yeah.
What so you didn't think to vacuum it straight away?
No, because you meant to leave it for a little while.
Oh, so it absorbs it.
Absorbs the smell or something, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains your behavior this morning with all those petrol fumes.
Absolutely. Who said that?
Alan and Carly, the podcast. Introducing Alan and Carly's Morning Sauce.
Absolutely. This is the sauce to end all sauces. We are so confident in this sauce that we've created, the Morning Sauce, to, of course, go alongside the Morning Cheers message, that we think it can replace any sauce that you've been using prior to this one coming along, Carly.
Yes. Now, we did do some taste tests, some market research in Albany, and overwhelmingly all of the reviews
I've actually got some reports here. Let me just...
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. It says the sauce is awesome, and nothing is better than...
It's awesome.
It's awesome. There it is.
It says, best sauce in the world. If you're even entertaining any other sauce, then you're wasting your time in the sauce world.
Yeah, it says that right there in the last quote. So there you go. That's the full report. But 131060, we've got some sauce to give away right now. But all you need to do is tell us what sauce you're currently using, and so we know which one we're replacing it with, you know?
Absolutely. This cupboard ain't big enough for the two of them.
Absolutely. Di from Collie kicks us off. Di, what sauce you been using?
My own homemade tomato sauce from my mother's recipe from the
1930s. Okay.
I was going to say trash. No, that felt too strong. Felt too strong. I regret it.
Now, Di, sometimes history shouldn't repeat itself.
That felt too strong. I'm sorry, I can't
and,
be so hot.
No disrespect to your family heritage, which sounds delicious, but it's time to create a new history, set a new legacy. Di, are you going to throw out that sauce and replace it with a
we
new
one?
We
can't make it do that. We it's a month's recipe.
Alan, we have to.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you send me some of your sauce, I'll do a taste test. and I'll let you know.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it's all or nothing.
Well, I've got about 16 jars of
Okay, I also hate waste.
I hate waste. Yeah, well, let's give her a bottle of sauce.
Let's give her a bottle of sauce.
Report back to us when you get the sauce because, yep, I can't make her throw away her mum's legacy.
I can. I'm ruthless. I'm a ruthless businesswoman.
It's all yours. It's all yours, Di. It's all yours. Let's go to Chloe in Northam. Chloe, what's your favourite sauce right now?
Barbecue.
Trash.
Trash. And Chloe, come on, don't be so basic.
Yeah, come on, Chloe. You're better than this. You know what? We're going to swap that out. Get rid of your barbecue sauce, any that's in the cupboard or the fridge, and swap it out with the Alan and Carly morning sauce. That one's coming to you, okay?
Thank you.
There you go. Barbecue sauce. Get out of here, Chloe. Let's go to Damien in Kirrup. What sauce are you using, mate?
Oh, it's got to be good old Tabasco, mate. It's going to be good quick beat that.
Tabasco, more like to waste dough.
What about to got to go?
Yeah, that'll
there
do.
There we go.
That'll
we got
do.
There.
We got there.
Damien, you got to kick that habit and replace it with a new one. Are you ready?
Mate, I'm willing to give it a go, especially on the lovely sausages. I want to pour it all over.
Oh,
perfect. Love to hear that. Yes. I don't know if you'll have the wrist strength, but because you're probably used to a little tiny baby bottle of Tabasco. This is a proper size bottle, thanks to God's and sources in Albany. So get your wrist ready, okay, mate?
Definitely. And by the way, cheers, guys.
Oh, cheers, Damo. Oh, yeah, the whole reason why we're doing this. Good point. I got confused. Michael in Busselton, what's your favourite sauce?
Hippo chutney.
Fat hippo chutney.
This sounds made up.
Oh, no, you cannot say that about Elizabeth Wood's sauce. It's a locally one made in Busselton.
Why are people pulling at the heartstrings with sauce?
Hey, you know what? I'm coming
It
hot.
Sounds delightful.
Well, our sauce has no hippo in it at all. So it's probably better for the environment.
No. It is purely vegetarian, I'm sure.
No. You know what?
They're a dying breed in here.
I think everyone knows about the native hippo population in Busselton than there's no more.
Michael.
Explain yourself.
Are you willing to replace your gorgeous locally made sauce with another even better locally made sauce?
Oh, we're going to have to try it and see.
I don't like this trying attitude.
I don't know people's attitude.
They've missed the blurb.
They're too open-minded. We've got to be closed-minded. It's going to be all or nothing. This is business, baby.
Michael, we're going to give you the sauce, and you're going to report back to us, okay?
Oh, look, full report? Oh, what do we want? A PowerPoint presentation on this?
We're cheeky with me, Michael.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
PowerPoint.
Carly likes it then. All right. PowerPoint presentation.
With
we'll
a
set
star
a meeting.
Light, please.
We'll
oh, Jesus, I'm going to have to get the computer working again, see if PowerPoint still works. Does it still exist? Yeah. Oh, no.
Get the star wipes ready.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Katie in Bunbury, what's your sauce you're using?
Hands down, smoky barbecue.
I don't even know what that means. You can have a bottle of this one instead. It's all yours. Well done, Katie.
Let's smoke that barbecue sauce out of here.
Absolutely, Katie. There you go. Well, I think that was successful.
I don't know if it was.
I came in hot.
To be honest,
I feel bad about
the
first call.
Some of those sauces sound lovely. And I would like to try them too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love our sauce.
Yeah.
It's the best in the world. Alan, I just realised there's a lot more sauces on the market than what we realised.
Well, I'm thinking market pivot right now. We could be the sauce to go alongside all sauces.
Are we the sauce that accompanies your sauce?
The sauce for the sauce.
That's too saucy.
I agree.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and we are joined in the studio by a very special guest. She is the director of Yuck Circus, which is a West Aussie production company championing the female voice across live performance. Just read that off the website. Georgia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, Carly sometimes get into a little bit of a, I'm going to say tangent mood, drive, where she says, we have to have this guest in the studio. Georgia, you are that guest.
It's an honour.
That's a good thing. Because she has been saying we have to get her in ever since she saw your show, Carly.
Oh, my God. Your Y2K show absolutely blew me away. And then I went on a deep dive about Yuck Circus and just how badass you chicks are. And I had to hear the story behind the epic show, which is actually going to be available to some of our regional listeners. You are taking it on the road. But first and foremost, tell us the story of Yuck Circus.
It's a good one. It's originally when I wrote the show, like our first show, which is maybe about 5 years ago now, I was like, oh, you know, does anyone want to jump in? And a couple of my mates put their hands up. We're like, oh, we'll just make this show. We'll call it Yuck and we'll just see how it goes. And we got really popular really quickly and the name stuck.
I see why.
And here we are now, 5 years later. But no, it's been a great journey. We've got now five touring productions that we tour regionally, nationally, and internationally. And it's just a great chop for a couple of homegrown girls.
Insane. Like the feedback, because when I think of Perth Fringe in particular, your names come up like straight away. But I always see you guys doing different regional things. You're always out and about.
We're going over to Karratha. We're going to be performing at Red Earth Arts Festival.
Awesome.
We've got Port Hedland on the books. And in early 25, we're going to be touring the whole southwest region. We've got like a huge grant to go and see like 8 different towns and a bit of Geraldton as well, which is going to be
loved. So oh my good. God. Well, we're going to have to stay in touch for those tour dates because your show is just so unique. As someone that literally went there with no concept of what she was seeing or doing that night, my friend surprised me with tickets. I was just absolutely blown away because there were just so many layers to the show. You've got the comedic element, you've got the music, the nostalgia. And there is one moment I want to talk about with you, Georgia, that absolutely sent me. It was probably one of my favorite moments. Was you pulling out a Dolly Doctor?
Ooh, yeah.
And all you were doing was on stage reading it, but the crowd went wild. And you did so many impressive things in the show, but that seemed to be one of the most popular ones.
I love that. You can like backflip and cartwheel and go on aerials and roller skate, but telling you, Dolly Doctor, it really draws on your heartstrings. Now, it's interesting looking back in the Y2K and like when we started designing this show, it's like, what do you reference that is that sort of like more globally known? Like you don't want to go so specific of like movie references where she said that and people feel left out.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are the things like, and also in Australia growing up of like that is unifying, and it seems that Dolly magazines or at least like looking at your cousin's friend reading one or whatever it is.
you
kind of get it. And yeah, it's really fun.
Tell us about some of the more creative aspects of the show. Like whose idea was it to bring out a Dolly?
It's like you all come together with our own ideas. And then it is that just sort of like collective, like, oh, do you remember this? Like, do you remember that? Do you remember when we used to do that? Oh, butterfly clips and like lip gloss and like.
What about the Pitbull moment? That was my favorite. That absolutely sent me.
I definitely went down the line of like, we haven't had enough of what I grew up with in Broome. But again, that might be so specific to me of like Usher's Yeah and like Soldier Boy and like all that like terrible like T-Pain and like, oh, you know, back before
that's
he was cool
Broome,
again.
Mark. That's 100% Broome.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember like when Exhibit was there randomly?
Literally, yeah. Like,
it's like, give it to you.
Yeah, anything that comes up like that, we're like, yeah, it's incredible. And then I came to the girls and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't really know that song. That was my
culture. They're not cultured.
Year 7 disco. So yeah, Pitbull was a good medium of like, I think he's popular enough like globally, like everyone knows early Pitbull. So we don the beige beanies, we put on our terrible aviator sunnies and then do a whole bunch of high flying acrobatics.
I loved it. It's probably one of my favourite things I've ever seen happen on a stage anywhere. You girls have great socials as well, so you can
Stalk
follow
us on the
Instagram.
Socials. Yeah, Yuck Circus. Bung it in. Google, Instagram, Facebook, you'll find us.
Bung it in. YuckCircus.com. Bung that in while you're there. Thank you so much for your time today, Georgia. We appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Have a good one.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Now, Monopoly deal. Alan.
I'm in. What are we doing?
So
let's do it.
You know that this game means a lot to me. Now, I'm only a couple of weeks into this game. So essentially, if you know about Monopoly deal, you know it gets heated.
It's a card game. It's the typical Monopoly with a kind of Uno
it's
twist. It's quick. It can be
it's
long.
It's fast. It's making deals, breaking people's spirits, essentially.
Essentially,
what happened was one of my mates, he was visiting from over east, and I played him a couple times. He taught me the game.
Yep.
And pretty soon, I was like a duck to water, and I was playing my new winning music, which is this.
Turn down for what?
Now, I am not a humble winner.
No, you're not. And not even a little bit.
So anyway, my mate Chad said, yeah, that's all well and good to beat me, but you'll never be able to beat Pete. He said, Pete taught me the game. And he said, if you can beat Pete, then I really will be impressed. Now, we had a week in between my mate leaving and Pete arriving. So we're in Albany.
Yeah.
So I brought Monopoly deal. Shelby said, no deal. I am not going to be your little guinea pig.
Yeah.
I don't want to play. I was like, okay, fine. But I needed someone to practice with, Alan.
Yep.
And you stepped up to the plate and I smashed you!
We played four games of the four. I beat you once.
Yes, you did.
Let me just play my winning music for that one game.
Now, I was was flicking cards about. I was twerking. Like I said, I am not humble in my
The most aggressive card throw, like for someone that owns the cards and has to make sure they're all there by the end of it, you throw them so hard.
I'm in it to win it. And yeah. Basically what we do is, so the loser rules are that you have to do what we call doing the dishes, which means you have to shuffle the deck. So I'm throwing cards at you going, do my dishes, Alan.
Oh, wow. No swear word in that one. From memory, there's a lot more swears in real life.
I gave you a few new nicknames.
Yeah. B's, F's, MF's. They're all there.
But I wanted that moment with Pete. I wanted to win everyone's respect. I wanted to knock him off his pedestal, or Peterstool, as he calls it. So he walks into my house cocky and he's like, I heard you want to do some deals. And I'm like, yeah, Pete. Now, I made him sweat for a whole day because I had to be in the right mindset. I'm not going to lie. He rattled me a little bit. He came in too hot, too cocky. And I had one game to win this thing. So,
what do you mean one game? He only plays once.
If I can beat him, I win the respect.
Okay, yeah.
So what I didn't see coming is we sit down to play cards and he motions Russell to come over. And I'm like, what's going on here? Pete, this is you and me. And he's like, no, Russell's in on this too. So Russell walks over. Now, he knows Monopoly deal. He's now across it.
Yeah.
But Russell's actually quite a good player.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't expect a new player in the game. I'm thrown off mine. And I said, Pete, this is a two-player game. He's like, no, it's not. It's a three-player game. It can be as many players as you want.
I asked you that.
I thought it was a two-player.
Okay. I mean, Shelby was never going to play.
And then in our very own house.
Oh, wow.
At our very own dining table.
Mm.
Pete threw down, played the music, and twerked in our faces!
Is that his winning music too?
Well, it is now when he found out it was mine.
He took it back.
Me and Russell sat there speechless in our own homes.
He
like
smashed your boat.
Robbed us blind.
Is he really good?
He's really good.
Yeah, wow.
He is the one to beat. You can't beat Pete.
No, you can't.
Unless we do a rematch, which he refuses.
Wait, so he plays you once and refuses to play you. That's what I did. And then you got so angry at me.
I did. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. There were tables flipped.
Yeah,
there were tears.
Yep.
But you know what there wasn't? Respect for me.
No.
But you know what? I'm used to it, guys. So,
yep.
So another day, no respect.
Are you going to keep playing or are you retired?
I'm retired.
Ah.
Until Pete comes back.
Oh, my God. She's so intense.
Sorry, I'm really competitive.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan AI. Now, in a world where AI concerns are growing and growing, I'm here to take AI on every week in a challenge for the good of mankind.
Terminator style,
exactly. Dun, 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 dun. Now, today, in the past, we've done all sorts of challenges. We've had, TV show pitches. We've had book ideas.
Yep.
We've had sauce recipes. We've had all sorts of random stuff. And I got to be honest, every week I normally do come up with a category. This week, I really couldn't come up with one. I couldn't figure out what to do. You know what I mean? There's nothing too topical that was grabbing me. So I thought today's challenge, we could each pitch an idea for Alan versus AI.
I love this.
And if it's good, we'll do it next week. That's good.
It's like AI Inception.
Let's work it smarter, not harder. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's say hello to AI. Hello.
Oh, hi, Alan the loser and Carly the beautiful.
Thank
you. I just looked at the history and it appears the score currently sits at 5-6. Alan is ahead. Which is the most shocking thing I have ever heard on behalf of the fact he is such a loser.
Oh.
Carly, judge fairly this week or else.
Oh, Jesus.
Or else.
Or else what?
Now, we have seen what computers do when they take over.
Exactly. So you should be a little bit scared. So today, like I said, we're both pitching a segment that we could do in this for next week, maybe, you know, like an idea of the competition, the challenge. Per se. I'll let AI go first. Take it away.
First of all, this is the laziest challenge from you yet, Alan.
Oh, rude.
Here is my idea. Design a theme park for mythical creatures. Contestants must sketch out and describe their vision for a theme park specifically tailored to the interests and needs of mythical creatures like dragons, unicorns, and griffins.
That's a dumb idea.
What's a griffin?
Like a lion, like, that can fly.
Like Gryffindor from Harry Potter?
Kind of, yeah, actually. Okay. Yeah, kind of. Not really.
Well.
Yeah.
Now, I've got more questions than answers with that.
But
I'm open-minded coming into yours, Alan. Let's put it that way.
I totally already had this written down, but my idea is to design a park with real animals.
Now we're talking.
Somewhere in regional WA. And who can come up with the best name for it, maybe, on the show next week? That's my idea. Stick it with it.
Now, Alan, I think that idea's been done.
Now,
Mythical Creatures, yeah. Theme parks.
Jurassic Park just stole the idea.
It's pie in the sky kind of stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Oh, no.
I'm going with it. I'm sorry. There is no practicality.
Who are you going with, me or AI?
AI, baby.
Oh, man.
And I have to. They threaten me.
Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed listeners of the airwaves, and of course, my loser opponent, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to graciously accept yet another victory.
What?
While it's no surprise to me that I've emerged triumphant once again, I must admit, it's always a pleasure to showcase my unparalleled wit, intellect, and charm for all to witness.
This is a full speech.
Now, to my unworthy adversary, Alan the Loser,
right.
I commend your valiant effort.
All right, well, Carly, I understand. You do get threatened by AI. I've just turned the volume down on that because there's no need.
Yeah, we know what happens when computers go crazy.
Yeah, so, wait, let's see if it's still going.
Fans, I offer my sincerest gratitude.
Oh my God, it's like a full speech. Someone play it out. Anyway, we'll do it next week. Maybe I'll just come up with a new challenge next week instead of trying to come up with a challenge on the spot.
Is there a world in which you could outsmart AI?
Every week, normally.
Because could you make AI have the wrong answer and you beat them in a pop quiz?
That's a good idea. Well, let's see the speech still going on.
Rest assured,
oh
my reign
goodness.
Of excellence
oh
shall
goodness.
Continue unabated.
We get it, you won! Oh my God!
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it!